This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it is 7:05 in the morning on BFM 89.9, and I'm Koo Soo Chung with Philip C and Wong Chow Ning.
Yes, it was a green day across the board. The US, the Dow was flat up marginally at 0.03%, S&P 500 up 0.2%, and NASDAQ up 0.6%. Now, crossing over to the Pacific at Asia, Hang Seng was up 0.9%, Shanghai Composite, as well as the Nikkei Japan, up 0.3%, while Singapore and KLCI were closed yesterday due to public holiday.
So to discuss markets, we've got on the line with us Tony Nash, the Chief Executive of Complete Intelligence. And Tony, let's start with the recent stimulus measures and, of course, the rising specter of inflation. In your opinion, what is your sense of whether the inflationary numbers are transitory or rather more permanent in nature?
I think it really depends on the products you're looking at. So if we look at products like lumber or corn or say some of the ags, the non-protein meaning hogs and cattle, if you look at the plant type of ags, that inflation seems to be coming off. We seem to be at least off of the peaks for now. If we're looking at, say, the protein stocks, so pork and chicken and beef, the storage of protein products is pretty low. In some cases, it's 20-some percent below the product that we had, say, a year ago. So I would expect ongoing rising prices for things like meat over the next, say, 3 to 6 months. But oil, for example, you know, I think we're range trading in oil. I don't necessarily see us spiking up in oil. We haven't seen inflation in oil like we've seen in other commodities.
Staying on U.S., with respect to the stimulus, I think that's resulted with individuals having a much higher level of personal savings. How do you think that is going to be utilized in the coming months?
Sure. Yeah, the personal savings in Q1 of this year was around 21% of Americans' income. So there's almost a glut of fiscal stimulus in the U.S. Normally, if we look, say, 20 years ago in 2001 at the same quarter, the savings rate was 5%, so it's more than four times it normally is. So how do we think it's going to be spent? Probably on services, probably on things that people haven't been able to do while they've been locked down. So things like travel, restaurants, you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, I would expect to see a lot more spending at restaurants, say, later in Q2, Q3, and Q4. Of this year. Travel, well, we definitely expect that to come back. But there's, you know, the hotel spending, we think, may be more regional rather than national or international.
So, Tony, does this mean that we should start looking at these kind of stocks then? So you're talking about hospitality, aviation, even restaurants. Should we be buying these companies now?
You know, I think it depends on the stock. It really is the type of market where you have to look at the individual stocks, because valuations and really almost any other gauge for measuring the value of a company is pretty stretched right now. So you'd really have to identify the type of investment you wanted to make and really look at where you think that's going over time. So will these valuations hold? Will the different metrics that people are looking at hold? A lot of these things are already baked into to the price of equities. So I'm not sure how much more we can juice out of these equities right now.
And this is not just the sectors that we talked about. You're talking about generally the broader market overall being overstretched at the moment. Everything. So then how should we determine our asset allocation? I mean, should we move back into cash, or should we look at other markets, for example, not just US?
Yes, I think you really have to look at it on an opportunity by opportunity basis. I think we're at that point in the market in the cycle where you really have to evaluate every single opportunity individually. I think a lot rests on the upcoming Fed meeting on June 15th. So we'll know on June 15th, is the Fed signaling that they're going to tighten a little bit? Is there going to be a little bit of taper? Are they going to kind of continue kind of running down the street with their hair on fire, just throwing cash out to everybody? If it's the latter, then sure, we have some ability to stretch these values even more. If not, I think there's going to be a lot of care taken, and we'll see a little bit of rotation into some, you know, some things like gold and other things.
So more immediately, Tony, this week we've got jobless claims data and, of course, GDP. How, if at all, will those data points shape your investing decisions going to the weekend?
Well, I think unemployment is a big one because last month's number was so terrible. So if we have another terrible unemployment reading, it's easy to, you know, if last month was terrible and it was a one-off, then fine. But if it's another terrible number, then I think that's a really bad sign. But there, you know, the Fed and the Treasury are wrestling with the fact that there's really too much stimulus out there. So people are paid an extra $1,200 US a month to stay at home instead of go out and get a job. So a lot of small business owners, restaurants and shops and, you know, these types of hourly workers, those employers can't afford to hire people, or the people making who would normally take those jobs are literally choosing to stay home and collect unemployment instead of get a job. Because again, they're making more than $1,000 extra a month, literally by refusing to take a job. So that's a disincentive for people to join the workforce, but to stay actively unemployed. So supposedly they're looking for a job, but to not really take a job because they can make so much more money. Now you have something like 27 states in the U.S. that have now said they no longer want the federal unemployment kind of accelerator, which is that, say, $300 a week extra on top of the normal unemployment people would get, because the states are seeing that their companies are having a really hard time finding filling workers. Yeah. And so if they no longer take this federal money, then, you know, those small companies and those chains will have an easier time finding workers.
And Tony, can we get your perspective on the current crypto volatility and your view whether it will cause a contagion effect on price levels of traditional assets like equities or bonds?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, crypto came off big time, right, last week and over the last couple of weeks. And it is interesting that there really hasn't been a contagion to speak of. And a couple of notable things, you know, when we've seen, say, equities fall that much or commodities or something, there's always a contagion, right? And what always happens is central banks come in to intervene and help the markets. And what I'm wondering is that expectation that central banks are going to intervene, does that accelerate the contagion effect? So if the central banks weren't there to save the market, the potentially contagious markets, would those markets fall? Because crypto's falling. And it hasn't gone over to other markets. Nobody expected central banks to intervene in crypto. So, you know, it's a really interesting study on how markets function and also what people's allocations were. I mean, a lot of people have money in crypto. They may not have a lot of money in crypto, but it's a widely distributed asset that people have. It's also seen as kind of a lottery ticket.
So Tony,
kind of a gamble. So,
You have money in crypto?
Well, so you guys, I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, but I talk about my 19, now 20-year-old daughter who put, I think, $50 in crypto. And I think she was up 6 times at one point. I think now she's up, well, she's probably still up 6 times. She was up, I think, 15 times at one point.
But she's still dependent on you, yeah?
Yeah, you're still the richest in the house.
Well, you know, she's a university student, right? So, you know, I got in with a little bit just after her. So, it's not a big bet. I'm just really curious to see how this asset performs. One of the learnings she's had is, look, take out your principal as soon as you can, right? And she's done that. Yeah. So everything she's playing with is profit. And I think that's the guide that a lot of crypto investors are using is, hey, take out your principal when you can. Everything else is profit, and let's just see where it goes.
Well, thanks, Tony. She has a good teacher. That was Tony Nash, yes, the Chief Executive of Complete Intelligence. Just on the back of what he was talking about with the stimulus checks, I mean, I'm rereading one of Jim Rogers' book. I got into that last night. And when he was traveling through China, he noticed that in China, 30% of income is typically going towards savings, right? In America, that number in the 90s, when he wrote this book, was around about 2%. Mm. So Americans don't have a culture of saving, they have a culture of spending. And because they're getting these stimulus checks, I think there's a longer-term discussion about what this is going to do on the job market. Because it, right, the Americans getting more money than they used to get in their previous jobs by sitting on the backsides in the couch, right?
But, is, you know, these checks are not
correct,
infinite. They are going
correct,
to end.
Correct.
Yes.
But they don't behave this way, right? They don't save it for the long term. They've punted on Robinhood or they go and buy an iPhone, right?
I think this is, the Robinhood and the iPhone, you know, I want to put this into context. Yes, I'm sure some spend their money that way, but there were also some people who really needed these checks. So like in any economy in the recovery, you've got this K-shape. So, you know, but I think what does this mean for the U.S. economy in terms of this inflation pressure?
Is it going to cause the job market as well?
Yeah.
Right? I think the question was whether it should have been more targeted, the stimulus, because it was quite overarching and basically touched, I think, up to 80% of people. That's the challenging question here.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.